Christian Williams, let me welcome you.
Thanks for having me on.
Christian Williams studies policing in Portland. He's been watching the police for the last 16 years. He wrote the book, Our Enemies in Blue, which is a good seller for South End Press. He's one of the founders of Rose City Cop Watch. Christian, we always knew the death of James Chassis was a police murder. It was very clear last week. After a mere 4 years, the police in the city were finally forced to reveal all the evidence in their possession. Tell us the story of the Chassis case and what it says about the police, the Portland police.
Well, the Chassis case really began with an incident in 2006 when the police encountered this man that they took to be a homeless person and really without any evidence of a crime stopped him and he fled and they chased him and they tackled him and by the end of the day he was dead.
And kicked him a lot on camera.
Yes.
And kept jumping on him. It was quite remarkable. He was tasered him as well, right?
Tased him as well.
While his hands are handcuffed.
He stopped breathing. Eventually, they called the paramedics. They didn't provide paramedics with the correct information of what had happened. They didn't tell the paramedics that he had stopped breathing. They didn't tell the paramedics that they had tased him. The paramedics did a cursory check, and then the police took him to the jail. The jail refused to admit him. The police took him to the hospital, and he died on the way. At the end of the day, he had 26 breaks to 16 ribs, some of which punctured his lung.
He died of internal bleeding, I gather. Asphyxiation from the blood in the lungs.
I think that's right. So 4 years later, the city settled for $1.6 million, which was the largest settlement ever.
And the county brutality. For another $980,000,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And last week, the lawyers for the Chassis family held a press conference and basically presented the evidence that they were prepared to present in court as to what exactly had gone wrong. And
it's very clear why the city settled, because they got a bargain. If the jury would have heard really what happened,
it surely would have gone in the favor of the family.
Yeah, although the city would, of course, said this guy's a schizophrenic who can't hold down a job, so really how much his life is worth. See, if you're a real fancy scientist earning a huge amount of money, you get the family gets much more money than poor people because they can't show they're going to have a big income and therefore their life is not worth anything.
Because the settlement is based on income lost.
Right. So maybe the settlement wasn't bad for the family. In any event, that's not why they did it. They did it to actually get the story out, which they did.
And, I mean, really what was new about the press conference last week is that it showed the way, in very direct causal terms, the way that the cops' efforts to cover up their brutality had led to him dying. That if they had been more ready to give him medical treatment, if they had been more forthcoming with the EMTs about what had actually happened, that there's a very good chance that he could have survived.
Had they taken him directly to the hospital when they realized he wasn't breathing.
Right, exactly.
Or was having a huge amount of trouble breathing. They, in fact, lied about it to everybody.
Yes.
It was part of a cover-up.
And there's part of what's interesting, I think, is that there's a cover up and then there's a cover up of the cover up, right?
Right.
Like the police on the ground did what they could to hide what had happened. And then the people who were responsible for investigating it got the internal affairs detectives got direct pressure from their commanders not to look into the untruthful statements that the police had made or any supervisory issues.
And that they have tried to plant drugs on him. Weirdly, a very weird thing. This guy's just a drug addict.
Right. It seems like what they tried to do was not so much plant anything, but pretend like some bread that was in his pocket was actually a drug for the sake of discrediting him in front of the
witnesses.
Was an opiate,
to discredit him somehow. These guys are still serving too, right? One of them did lose 2 weeks of income, right? Was suspended for 2 weeks?
Two of them were suspended for failing to get him proper medical care. Nobody has been disciplined for the initial use of force, even though the review committee determined that it was outside of policy. And no one has been disciplined for the initial stop, even though the commander described it as a pretext. And at this point, everyone has to admit that he wasn't even really suspected of a crime.
They now began claiming that they thought he was urinating in his pants, which, if that is a crime, I don't want to say it, but 50% of our oldsters would be in jail.
The police story shifted right away, right, where they had said that He was behaving strangely. They said that, well, maybe he had been urinating. And then, but eventually, under deposition, they admitted that they didn't have any evidence that a crime had been committed. And
their if he ran from them, then it became, they could just jump on him, which is what they did, and kick him, and then he's moaning. And
I mean, once he ran, the running became their justification, which in retrospect seems like he had every reason to run.
Bill Resnick here for The Old Mole, talking to Christian Williams about the Chassis case. It's really important to, we just heard about the French police and who are, in fact, not attacking the strikers. And during the French Revolution, of course, the army and the police supported the striking people. That's a long way from happening in Portland. The police are really in bed with the elites, and they're vicious and highly motivated right-wingers.
Yeah.
Some of them Nazis, in fact. They're putting up plaques in city parks to the Waffen-SS. That's another story, but we can't get into that one. Important to control the police just to maintain sort of bourgeois civil liberties so we're not getting killed and battered every time we try to have a demonstration.
Well, one of the things that's interesting about the Chassis case, which I think has gone sort of underreported on, is the way that the police were responding to the agenda of people like the Portland Business Alliance, because the unit that these cops are part of is transit police, which as their commander explained to Internal Affairs, felt like they had an additional duty to clean up sort of quality of life offenses, especially in the area of the transit mall.
To make the downtown antiseptic and make it a suburban-like setting for shoppers.
What that means really is very little to do with crime and very much to do with controlling who has access to that space. And so the real reason the Chassis was stopped is because the police saw him to be homeless or disreputable or something to that effect. And that class bias set into action a chain of events that led to his death.
How do we control the police? We're not going to gain support from the police as in France, but it's possible to control them. Why don't we talk in another interview, Christian, about what it would mean over the long run to separate the police from business interests and from various kinds of elite interests, including those who run the state. But right now, we're having trouble even controlling police conduct, blatant fascism, actually, in the ranks now. How can that be dealt with? Like, the DA is supposed to be doing an investigation now based on all this new evidence. He will undoubtedly clear them again. He is really Mike Schrunk is the great responsible party in terms of the short term, at least. How do we deal with it in the short run?
Ultimately, the legal authorities are only going to respond to political pressure. And if we can't get police who wantonly kill people fired, then there's really no basis of accountability at all. I mean, we're just largely kidding ourselves that the civilian review process or the civil remedies like really make any difference if, at the end of the day, public pressure can't be brought so that the legal authorities will fire and hopefully prosecute the police who are responsible for just killing people arbitrarily.
Well, two of those cops and the worst ones are not only still on the force, but they have – one of them has over 78 complaints for violence, and yet still he's –
Yes. And I mean, two of the cops who were involved have been sort of repeat offenders here, one being Chris Humphreys, who, according to the news media, has the second most use of force complaints of anybody on the police force and who created a lot of controversy about a year ago for shooting a 12-year-old girl with a beanbag gun at close range. The other being Kyle Nice, who was involved in a set of road rage incidents and who actually one of his peers had complained to the commander that they thought that he was unstable and bound to hurt somebody sooner or later. Interestingly, the officer who blew the whistle on that was reassigned to the property warehouse, which is, you know, obviously a punishment assignment.
Christian, we have to end. Public pressure is the only thing that will work.
It's the only thing that's going to matter.
And working with the Albina Ministerial Alliance and all sorts of other forces who are trying to control the police, including Portland Cop Watch and Rose City Cop Watch.
Yeah. I mean, I think the broader the effort, the better.
Right. Thanks a lot for talking to us today.
Thanks for having me on.